Psalm 105 says, "O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory is his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, 'To you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance.' When they were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, 'Touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm.' When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, he has sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters, his neck was put in a collar of iron, until what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The rulers of the people set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. Then Israel came to Egypt. Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes. He turned their hearts to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them and miracles in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made the land dark. They did not rebel against his words. He turned their waters into blood and caused their fish to die. Their land swarmed with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. He gave them hail for rain and fiery lightning bolts throughout their land. He struck down their vines and fig trees and shattered the trees of their country. He spoke, and the locusts came, young locusts without number, which devoured all the vegetation in their land and ate up the fruit of their ground. He struck down all the firstborn in their land, the firstfruits of all their strength. Then he brought out Israel with silver and gold, and there were none among his tribes who stumbled. Egypt was glad when they departed, for dread of them had fallen upon it. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light by night. They asked, and he brought quail and gave them bread from heaven in abundance. He opened the rock and water gushed out. It flowed through the desert like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. So he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing. And he gave them the lands of the nations, and they took possession of the fruit of the people's toil, that they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. Praise the Lord." Thank you, Lord, for reminding us of your power and strength and your faithfulness to your pledges, to your covenants. We pray that you would give us the ability to keep your covenant, to keep the covenants that you give us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 21, we're going to continue there. start by reading verse 1 through 8. Genesis 21, 1 through 8 says, "The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, 'God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me.' And she said, 'Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age.'" All right, well, to start with, verse 1, we have the Lord, Yahweh, visited Sarah as he had said. And so what this is referring to is back in chapter 18. If y'all remember that, chapter 18, let's go there right quick, read that. Chapter 18, the Lord appeared to him, Abraham, as he sat at the door of his tent. This is when the men walk up. And then in verse 10, Abraham is told by the Lord, "The Lord said, 'I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah your wife shall have a son.'" So this is the Lord speaking to Abraham about this. Then, and it's repeated in 14, when the Lord said to Abraham, "Why does Sarah laugh? For indeed, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." And then the next verse is where Sarah denied the laughing. So it's possible that this particular mentioning of it, Sarah was also able to hear what was going on. But she heard eventually, she had to have heard what he said because she laughed about it. So we know that Sarah also heard this promise for that the Lord said to return. So it says here the Lord visited Sarah. This word means to take note of. In other words, in other places, it's used to actually indicate the gathering together of some people, particularly like in these other places, the context is gathering troops for battle. So it's an interesting word. And I have to do something right here right quick. I did some speculating last week about how long Sarah might have been with Abimelech and all that, but I did go back and do the time references, and just for your edification and recollection, Abraham was 86 when Ishmael was born. Then Abraham was 99 when God gave him the covenant of circumcision. At this point, Ishmael's 13 because he says he was circumcised when he was 13. This is the covenant of circumcision would be chapter 17. Ishmael being born, I don't have that written down which chapter that was. However, then you have chapter 17. Then we have 18, 19, 20, and now we're in 21. Last week was chapter 20 when she was with Abimelech for a while. And then now in 21, Isaac being born. Okay? So it says right here, Abraham was 100. So between chapter 17 and 21, according to this, Abraham aged 1 year, not technically. He could have been just turned 99 and just about to turn 101. So theoretically, we could have almost 2 physical years, but we have 1 year of age changeover mentioned in the Bible. I don't think that's not enough to make a lot of difference in what I'm trying to say. But it's not. It wasn't very long. It definitely wasn't over 2 years long between that and. So anyway, that does help put it in perspective that it, you know, probably Sarah wasn't there terribly long, not like 3 or 4 years, but still could have been several weeks, maybe even a few months during that time. So I wanted to clarify that. And it's actually, you know, a lot happened during that time, if you go back, because in 17, there's the covenant made. You have 18, we just talked about the visitors coming and telling them about the promise of Isaac being born. You know, Abraham talks with the Lord right before the Malak go to Sodom, and you have the whole Sodom event happen. And that didn't have to take very long. But it seems maybe like it may have been longer because it's, you know, we read about it through multiple chapters. But then you have them traveling all the way down to Gerar, have the whole Abimelech thing happen, and then it doesn't say where they are now, but so we don't know if they're still down near Gerar or not. Actually, you know what? We do know that. We do know that because of what's coming at the end of the chapter that I'm not going to get to, but there's going to be another interaction with Abimelech. So they are still living in the land of Abimelech this time. So anyway, they had to make that travel, that trip during this 1 to 1.5-ish 2 years time span as well. So this is just to give you all some time frame references there. It's interesting because as we read this, in verse 2, it says, "And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age." It's actually, to me, not clear as to what exactly happens at this particular time. Is this when it says the Lord visited Sarah? Is this the time where he opens her womb? In which case, that just makes it possible for them to conceive and then to have because it doesn't say, it just says that the Lord visited and then it happened. Then Sarah conceived and then she bore Isaac. It very well could be that the Lord visiting was when he came to open her womb up. And it was closed before that. It doesn't mean that this visiting of the Lord to accomplish his promise is when Isaac was actually born. So there's a little ambiguity there in terms of like, I would say that the Lord visiting Sarah and doing what he had said to do was him coming and opening the womb, making her where she could conceive again. That would be my take on it. But if anybody has another a reason why that from the text where that would not work out, I'm happy to hear it, or another idea about that. Okay. So the Lord visited Sarah. She conceived and bore at the time which God had spoken, bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. So I think this is referring back to chapter 18 when God spoke to who? Abraham, right? That first time in verse 10, he's speaking to Abraham. Sarah overhears, but he's talking to Abraham. It wasn't really, he didn't say, "Hey, Sarah, this is going to happen to you." He says, "Abraham, Sarah's going to have," so he's talking to Abraham. And so when it says God, at the time at which God has spoken to him, I think that's what he's talking about, that time which God has spoken to him. The other thing that, let's see. So the other thing that goes along with this is it's still So, like most of the renderings in chapter 18 is that God would return. This is the return. That's what I'm trying to get to. This is the return promised in 18 to God visiting Sarah. That he would return in about a year. It says in about a year. We talked about how that just means it could be about this time of the year. So if it was not exact, it doesn't have to mean like God was like, oh, God didn't do what he said if he didn't come exactly 365 days from that day. But even so, it was likely not like 10 years later. It was within a year or two, actually, turns out, probably, given the ages of Abraham here. All right, so Abraham, at the time of which God has spoken to him. So here we have, God, it says in the text in 18, it says, and Yahweh said to Abraham. So it was pretty clear that who was speaking, and this confirms that as well. So let's in 10 again. Yeah, the Lord said. All right. Just wanted to be sure about that. All right. So, verse 3, Abraham is going to call, as directed, he's going to call, well, it's not directed. He's going to call this child's name Isaac. Abraham called the name of his son who's born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. I thought that was kind of interesting. In this one verse, we got three different times where it sort of is like saying, "This is Abraham's son." Did you catch that? The son, the of his son born to him, Sarah bore to him. So I don't know. Maybe this is in some way trying to make sure that people that you the reader understands this was. That Abraham is the one who sired this son. Not, it wasn't an immaculate conception situation, and it wasn't Abimelech. Remember, we had that possibility that time. Sarah was away with Abimelech. So this confirms this is the son of Abraham. I don't know if it confirms it, but it's trying to help push that idea. Abraham, verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old. Interesting. I thought it's interesting about this word old. It's the word bene or ben is what we say in Hebrew. And it could have a couple of different words. Depending on the context, it can mean established. So it's almost like if you go like a business, established in 1920. So the business, then you can calculate how old it is, right? So, you could say the business was established for 95 years or 105 years or whatever. So that's kind of like Abraham. Here he is. Abraham was established for 100 years. He was 100 years old. It also is the prefix for the word Benjamin, which is it means son. The word Ben means son, and so you have different. You put that as a prefix to other words, and it like Benjamin means son of my right hand, and there's other Ben so and so, son of so and so, sometimes. So it's interesting. That's the same word. That to me that was interesting. That was the same word. Verse 6, Sarah said, Elohim has brought to me laughter. All who hear will laugh. It's interesting. One thing, this sort of a question, sort of left hanging here is that all who hear will laugh. Is she thinking they'll laugh with her or laugh at her? So it's kind of interesting. It's not perfectly clear, just kind of left hanging there. And that may be interesting in just a minute, too. So we'll just kind of hang on to that. And here, the Elohim, the verb said is a singular. So this is could very well be she's saying, Yahweh, the Most High Elohim has brought to me laughter. Of course, Isaac's name means laughter, so she's using a play on words there as well. It may be the first part is that God has brought her Isaac. God has brought me Isaac. And then she says, all who hear this will, Isaac, they will laugh. And she continues to say, who would have thought, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Who would have thought this? So maybe, you know, that's, they're laughing with, like, we had Laugh with Joy, was that something? Yeah, when she was laughing at the comment, is it a laugh of joy, a laugh of ridicule, or whatever? So I think here brought me laughter, but the people could be laughing with her or at her there. Isaac was then, it says, weaned. He grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a feast. Why would Abraham make a feast for his weaned child, for this child? Anybody got any ideas? It doesn't say why, so this is really just for fun. I don't think it's... Yeah?
Perhaps it was unusual and a big deal for a child to live past that time.
Okay, yeah, I think that's very... I mean, there was a high infant mortality, so the children who made it to that stage of life, this was especially for a special child, right? Especially for maybe a first son in the family or some other reason why, you know, this was a child that had a prophecy associated with him, and now this child has made it, has lived, has, you know, has not died. And so we're not told, but the implication is that this was important to Abraham. He made it. He's made a feast before when he did what?
Invited the men.
When the men came who he called Lord and saw as important, maybe even divine. Yes.
As far as like why? I have another reason as to why he threw a party.
Okay.
He had his wife back to himself.
Maybe so. Maybe so. All right.
He was told how to name him Isaac. Abraham was told to name him Isaac back. It just doesn't say that he did it because God told him to here.
Okay, cool. Great.
Chapter 17.
All right. Good catch. I thought he was told to, but I wasn't sure. So. All right, so this sort of concludes the part about Isaac and his birth. The prophecy and his birth, and now he's grown a little bit. So, any more comments about Isaac? We're going to sort of shift now to talk about Ishmael. All right. So, in 9, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, and in NASB, the word is scoffing, but interestingly, in ESV, the word is laughing. So here we have laughing comes up again. And this particular word would indicate this is a laughter of ridicule some way or another. Now, it's...
mocking.
Right, that's similar to ridicule. So, now, it appears from the flow of the text that this was, you know, around this... So Isaac is this little weaned child at this point when Ishmael is laughing at something, mocking and ridiculing him. Maybe, and if we're gonna tie it in with this weaning feast, maybe he thinks this. Maybe he's laughing, he's mocking and ridiculing the idea that why would we have a feast for this little squirt. Maybe that's part of it too. But it's not definitive. It doesn't tell us why. But it is. It's right there after the. Apparently, if this is consecutive, linear in the text, there's no gap. It's right after. It's right around this time of this big feast for the weaning. So because of this, Sarah says to Abraham, cast this woman, this slave woman with her son out. Cast out this slave woman with her son. For the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac. So the word cast out means to drive out, to get rid of, move on. And I find it, she refers to him, to her as the slave woman, not your other wife. Maybe she's doing this in a derogatory way, I don't know. But she does refer to Hagar as a slave woman. And and her reasoning is Ishmael would not be heir. So she's probably got a reasonable sense of concern. Ishmael at this point is, anybody know how old Ishmael is now? Like 14 or 15 years old probably at this point. I mean, we know he was 14 or 13 with the circumcision. And so this is...
Gil said that it was typically from 2 to 3 years old that they weaned the Hebrew children.
Right. So you know, it depends if we go with the strict 1 year, 12 months from the time of when, if this is from 99 to 100, exactly 12 months, and Ishmael was 13 when he was circumcised, so he's 14 now. And if Isaac was actually born when they visited, the shortest amount of time this would be is like probably he's 14, 15, 16, maybe even 17. It could be longer theoretically, depending on did she conceive at this point? So then you got to add 9 months. So he's like an older teenager at this point. I'd say he's at least 15 or 16. And at 15 or 16 at that time, some of 15, 16-year-old were maybe even within a couple of years of taking a wife at this time. But not always, because like we know with a lot of times, like Isaac's going to be like much, much older. So maybe not. I didn't actually look into that. I was off the cuff, and so it probably should have been better yet not said. So Sarah is concerned. We have this pushing 20-year-old, within a few years of 20, basically he's a man. He's a young man, but he's a man. It's interesting, though, that the text is going to continually, the renderings in the ESV are continually going to say boy. But that same word is young man as well. So he's not just... He's just not a boy. He's not really a boy anymore. He's a young man at this point. I don't know why they chose boy there. It would have been easier on everybody if they said young man. So, Sarah's like, look, if he stays around, it's going to be a problem. Isaac is the one who's supposed to get the inheritance, the birth. The whole birthright, the heir. He's supposed to be the heir. But Isaac would not be the eldest, and so there would be some pushback on that situation. So Abraham is not really happy with this idea from his wife, Sarah. He's displeased, it says in verse 11. In fact, it says very displeasing to Abraham. And it was displeasing not because of any, I don't know about any, but it wasn't primarily because of a fondness for Hagar or anything to do with Hagar. It was his fondness for Ishmael. It was displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. So now Abraham is in a situation to make a decision. Who is right? Who's going to be right here? Abraham going to be right? Sarah going to be right? Verse 12 says, but God, and that is just Elohim, but Elohim said to Abraham, or you could read it, but an Elohim, because it is singular here. Be not displeased because of the boy, young man, and because of your slave woman. So here is the Elohim speaking, also referring to Hagar as the slave woman. Be not displeased. Wait a minute, that's not right. Yes, be not displeased because of Ishmael and Hagar. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Okay, so he's getting a word from the divine that he should do what Sarah's told him to do because Isaac will be the offspring name. Your offspring shall be named as your offspring. And he continues, I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also because he is your offspring. So because of the promise of Ishmael becoming a nation is said to be because he is Abraham's offspring. So it's not anything to do with Hagar or really even Ishmael as much as it's to do with Abraham. I have a question. Bob, you can raise your hand. At this point, is this the first time Abraham has heard this about Ishmael? Or has he heard this before about Ishmael? Who thinks it's the first time? You think it's the first time?
Yes, sir.
Who thinks he'd already known this about Ishmael? You think he'd already known it?
He definitely knows it.
Okay, where's the text that says he knew it ahead of time?
Oh, let Ishmael stand before you, and God said, yes, actually it's going to be from Sarah, however I've heard your plea, and Ishmael also will stand before me. It will be in a great nation. And I think that was it was when God promised Sarah a child, but it was just prior to Sodom and Gomorrah, I think.
17, chapter 17, 19,
right. He doesn't actually use the word nation. It actually uses the word a great multitude, but I think the flavor of the idea is there. So there was that interaction before. But it's interesting to me that in this case, it says, I will make him a nation. There's one other point here, and that was where it says, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. So basically what this is saying is that Isaac will, Isaac will be the most important of your heirs, the most important of your children. And so If you know anything about Islam, what does Islam say? What does Islam say about Ishmael? Anybody know?
They're descendants of Israel.
Right. They would say that Ishmael was the most important of Abraham's children.
Firstborn.
Well, that's true. I'm just contrasting that. Here we have. The opposite being said here. I'll make a nation, but just before that, do what Sarah says, because through Isaac shall your offspring be named. All right, so verse 13, make a nation. So Sarah wants, so we're just sort of like a recap here. Sarah wants Hagar and Ishmael gone. Abraham does not want to send them away because he doesn't want Ishmael. He wants to continue to have a relationship with Ishmael. And Elohim says to do what Sarah says, and that he will make a nation of Ishmael as well. All right, so let's keep going. Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. Now, I think that means he put the skin of water and bread on her shoulder, not the child, because he was probably pretty big at this point. So, just so, in case anybody was wondering.
The word for the lad or for young man there that you're putting forward is baby in the passage. It does say baby. It's an interesting B-A-B-E is the way that they translate into the English. It's an interesting conversation, and one that might be informed by the slowness of maturity, potentially. They lived longer, so they matured slower. They might have actually grown slower. But that would also account for why you see so many of the men getting married when they're in their 40s and so forth, but older in years, just as a thought.
Yeah, I didn't thought about the opposite of my argument for Abraham. It's kind of like that would go along with that same thing there. Well, I know that there was another place where it's referring to Ishmael, and it says a word that could mean young man, because I don't remember exactly where. I don't have it written down.
It means apparently from like baby, like birth to adolescent.
Okay, so he would definitely, well, not definitely.
Just curiosity.
I mean, it does give wiggle room. It gives wiggle room for that to be the case. And I was just jesting about putting the, because I think it is referring to the food that she put on her shoulder, not the child. But it depends on how you read that English and where you put the commas. it could sound like she put the babe or the boy on her shoulder.
She's going to throw the baby in a minute.
She's going to throw it.
Shove
it. Cash.
That says she shoved the child.
Lad, offspring.
Well, then.
Throw out, down.
That would, but if that same, if you take that same logic, then weaning time would. We think it would take longer to get to weaning time as well. But anyway. All right, verse 14, Abraham sends both into the wilderness of Beersheba, it says, with a skin of water and some bread. And Hagar wandered in the wilderness. And that word wandered is also got the connotation of the word reeled, R-E-E-L-E-D, as in you've probably... In the context of somebody hits somebody and they reel from the impact of the blow, that's the kind of the, not like a rod and reel kind of thing, but to reel is to be struck, but it's the effect of not, it's the idea of like not sure what to do next kind of thing. You could reel from a piece of news somebody gives you, like, you know, unexpected catastrophe of someone that you love, and you can reel. You could be like, I'm having a hard time processing this because this is so massive to my connotation of life. So that is what's built into this word here. Hagar is just. She goes out in the wilderness and it's like she doesn't know what to do. She just wanders around. Which is quite interesting because it gives you the implication that Abraham, now it doesn't say this though. So we have to be careful. But it gives sort of either Abraham just said, get out of here. But very possibly he could have gave her instructions of how to get somewhere safe and all this, but she just couldn't take it all in because she's getting kicked out into the wilderness. So I don't know which one it is, but whichever one it is, she is sent out into the wilderness. she has some provisions, but it's what she can carry. I mean, she can probably carry, a few days worth of provisions. So she's got to get somewhere where there's provisions within a few days, or she's going to likely die of exposure. What?
Do you think that this is any sort of evidence or factors into whether or not she was actually his wife?
Well, it keeps saying multiple times slave woman, so I've never held that position, but you got something.
New Testament.
I know, but that word is, and actually that word in the New Testament could just mean woman. It's a broad word, I'm pretty sure.
Which one? Where he calls her what? Come on. The reason I asked what, because it kind of seems, on the face of it, contrary to what God said to do, if it was your wife. I'm supposed to kick him out, that kind of thing. But, well, I mean, God can do what he wants, I understand, but it sort of leans against it a little bit, kind of like why I'm reading it.
Right. You got it yet?
No, not yet.
I found one in Galatians 4:22. Says that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid. The word there says a girl, that is specifically a female slave or servant. Bondmaid, bondwoman, damsel, maid, maiden.
That's probably not the one your dad's looking for, then. So anyway, William, notwithstanding, but this, so far everything is just, to me, she's been treated like a slave woman. She's been called a slave woman, concubine, whatever you want to call that. I mean, level within the hierarchy of the family, of the family group, because the family group, even into the New Testament, they would not the New Testament, but for sure in the Old Testament, is like circumcise everybody in your family, and that would include your male servants and as well. So when Abraham was told to circumcise, it was not just his blood kin, it was everybody in his household. So when I say family, I mean household. But I want to be careful not to assume motives here. Like, I don't want to assume that he didn't tell Hagar how to get to the next place so she could survive. She doesn't do it. She goes out in the wilderness and wanders around. We don't know if that was because he didn't do that or because she just forgot and was emotionally distraught or whatever and didn't think she could make it. But that she had only what she could carry, or maybe it didn't say that. Maybe Ishmael was carrying stuff too. But, if he was a 8-year-old in a 18-year-old's body, then he could carry a little bit, but not a whole bunch.
It's actually
And took Sarah, wife of Abram, Hagar the Egyptianist, her maidservant, after 10 years had dwelt Abraham the land Canaan, and she gave her to Abraham her husband to be his woman or wife.
It's the same as what Sarah is.
Right, we could use it either way, depends on the context.
No. But see, the problem here is that we have multiple translators. Who spent years looking at this stuff, and they're saying this is what it means.
Yeah, but we got like 1,500 other places that keep calling her slave woman, handmaiden.
That's not a problem. It's not a problem. If you look at the context in Scripture, slave woman is a concubine.
Right. But that's not...
That is a woman. It is a contractual
right.
type of relationship with this woman. To say that there's not a contractual relationship means that you are committing adultery. Contractual means that there is a wife involved. It is the level of wife that is involved. You cannot. It is vile to say it's just a woman.
You're not. Is he committing adultery if she's not somebody else's wife already?
No, he is breaking covenant if he goes and just sleeps with another woman.
Sarah said to do it. I mean, Sarah.
Oh, that's good. So did he.
Huh?
So did Eve. Here, eat this.
Yeah, which is real interesting because now Sarah's telling him to do something else, and in this case is the right thing to do, apparently.
No, it's not. He went to God, and God said, do what Sarah said. It is
I realize that. That's my point, is God's approving of what Sarah said. God's approving of what Sarah said here. That's my point.
It may be, but it's God who is saying to do it. It is not Sarah.
All right, so the water got eased up, and she put Ishmael under the shade tree, under a shade bush. Find that right quick. Yeah, I got to get back to my... All right, so this particular the place where somebody said shoved or threw? Cast, hurl, fling, throw are all possibles for the root word, and then the word itself is used three times, Genesis, Judges, and Psalms. And then this is the Genesis one, and Judges. And Judges is when the woman cast the millstone down, pushed the millstone down, and Psalm, everyone who hates discipline, cast my words behind, is an INT, how the INT renders that. So, NASB, I think this is NASB, in this interlinear, uses the word placed, but apparently it was less, not just a gentle placing, it was a sort of a pushing. At the very least, she placed the boy under one of the bushes and went a bow shot away. So as I read that, I thought, well, how far is a bow shot? I figured the best way to answer that would be to think about Jonathan and David when they were doing the whole shoot the bow, and if it goes here, I tell my servant, do this. This is your clue. So he was shooting the bow. Jonathan was shooting the bow, and it was going, and he was telling his servant. So his servant wasn't quite to where the arrow was. He said, go further. But apparently it was a short enough distance that you could yell and someone could hear you. So that's generally the idea I get for how far away she was from the boy, from Ishmael. She sat down opposite him, the distance of the bow shot, for she did not want to watch him die, basically. At this point, she hears an Elohim and heard an Elohim, and an Elohim heard the voice of the boy, heard the voice of Ishmael. Apparently, it says in 15, it began, let's see. Well, it says Hagar began to cry. doesn't say that this was Ishmael, but apparently Ishmael is the Elohim, and Elohim hears the voice of the boy and called. So and Elohim hears the voice of the boy and called a Malach of God. So, and then a messenger of God, a messenger of Elohim. A messenger Elohim is actually what literally would be, but two words. Malach Elohim. To Hagar. So it says that the Elohim hears Ishmael, and then a messenger, a Malach Elohim, calls to Hagar. So now we have the messenger Elohim, Malach Elohim, calling and speaking to Hagar here. Particularly, it says, out of heaven. So no ambiguity here, speaking out of heaven to Hagar. And basically it says, what is wrong? Fear not. For Elohim has listened to the boy. Okay, so this messenger is speaking about that Elohim has heard the boy. Now, she gives instructions. Arise, lift up the boy, hold out your hand, for he will be a nation great. I will make him a great nation, is what it says. So, at this point, it says, and Elohim opened the eyes of Hagar, and she saw a well, and she got water and gave it to Ishmael to drink. And in verse 20, so Elohim was with the boy. The boy grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became great. Interesting there, it says it became a great, and the word renders archer. And it's the only time in Scripture this particular word occurs. This word archer. Let's see here. I had a note about that, but now I've messed up my spot.
That's in 20.
Right. Thank you. It could be broadly, the root word could be broadly thought of as just being great in battle, a warrior kind of situation. But it is specifically, the root word specifically has the idea of skilled use of the bow and arrow. So I don't really have anything else. I just find it interesting. His skill was a great archer, which would be handy in the wilderness because he could acquire game most likely that way. You know, mountain goats and that sort of thing, I suppose. And it says he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran and took for him, and his mother took for him a wife from the land of Egypt. So,